seen parents with children that become so concerned about what goes into their children's bodies that they won't let them drink from a fountain, they won't let them drink tap water, only bottled water, because they're concerned about what might be in the tap water. But unfortunately, what goes into our children's minds seems to be of very little concern to all too many parents. And we see the effects of it increasingly as each year goes by. And the shooting that just happened in Colorado is just the latest example. And unfortunately, if we continue on the trajectory that we're on, 10 years from now, that will seem like a run-of-the-mill thing, and then we'll be talking about some new atrocity that will make that look like small potatoes. Unfortunately, the problem isn't something that's just a matter of legislation. No doubt we'll be hearing people who will say that we need more gun control laws. This guy shouldn't have been able to get a hold of all these things. Well, when my father was a kid, you could buy a machine gun without a license in this country, but we didn't have kids going into schools and shooting them up. We didn't have people going into movie theaters and shooting people indiscriminately. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned before, in 1929, we had some hoodlums that had a turf war going on, and on one day they shot 7 gangsters, and that warranted an entry in the encyclopedia. For you kids who don't know what a physical encyclopedia looks like, it's a set of books that were numbered by the letters of the alphabet. And unlike Wikipedia, you couldn't just clog it with all kinds of content because there was only so many pages. And so for something to get entered into the encyclopedia, it had to be a very significant thing. And the St. Valentine's Massacre was such a shocking thing that it was in the encyclopedia from then on up until they stopped printing them, because people were horrified by this thing. But here we had hoodlums that had at least some motivation. They were fighting over turf and power, and so there was at least some rationale behind it, even if it was evil. But unfortunately, now we see people who kill just simply for the pleasure or driven purely by hate, and there's not any real rhyme or reason for it. So it's not just our imagination. Things really have gotten worse in the culture. It's not just like every generation thinks that the previous generation was better and the current generation is worse, which there's always a certain amount of that, but the reality of it is the culture really has declined. When we learn the details of the shooter's life in the next coming months and years, we'll find out more and more about him, but I can already tell you a few things about this man without a whole lot of doubt. Number one, he grew up watching violent movies and sexually explicit movies, and those two things go together, and so you wind up linking the two in the minds of people. That's the way the Japanese actually trained their soldiers to be as brutal as they were. They would take them out and they would have them watch the bayoneting of an innocent civilian, and they would all stand around and cheer and drink their sake and, you know, eat their snacks, and then they would go to their comfort women. And so they trained these men to associate pleasure with violence. And so what was unimaginable to these people before the kind of training that they got became totally reasonable to these people. And the horrors of World War II are something that everyone should know. If you don't know, you need to read up on it. But this kid was trained. He probably also was a big video game fan. He probably spent hours and hours playing games where he was blowing people smithereens with guns and watching them splatter, and there was sexually explicit content in those games as well. And so he was trained. He probably spent very little time on a shooting range preparing for this. I don't know that for sure, but he probably didn't, because it's not necessary. If you've been trained with a video game, it's just like a flight simulator. You can learn how to fly a plane with a flight simulator, and you can learn how to kill your fellow human beings on a video game. And so these are the kinds of things that train this guy. And also, he grew up probably not having a whole lot of faith, or if he did, he got away from that, and he became convinced that he was just a collection of cells and tissue, and that he was more highly evolved than the animals, but basically an animal nonetheless, and he was just driven by genes and hormones, and that after this life there was nothing to hope for, no accountability, nothing to be gained or lost or feared. And so we have what we have. Now, this is an extreme case, and you might say, well, what about all the kids that play these video games and go to these movies and don't go out and shoot up people? Well, it's true that not everybody's going to go out and do that, but it's also true that as our culture has become more coarse, we see more and more of these kinds of things, and we become more and more shocked by the ability of our fellow human beings to be cruel. And we wonder, what made them the way that they are? Well, there's lots of reasons in any given case, but the reason why the trend has been the trend that it has been is because we've allowed our culture to become hostile to God. At the beginning stages, we just tolerated evil, but eventually, as evil became more tolerated, before long, what was evil was called good, and we now see that what is good is being called evil increasingly. The trajectory of our culture is unsustainable. Back when the gas prices were shooting through the roof, I heard one commentator who said it's not sustainable. You're going to see the prices come back down because one thing or another is going to change. Either the prices will come down for some other reason, or our economy will tank, and then the prices will come down. Well, we saw what happened. But one thing is going to give in our culture. Either we're going to have a return to values and a return to God in this country, or else our freedoms are going to be increasingly taken away, and we're going to have people telling us what to do and when to get up to go to work and what we can eat, because people can't be trusted with freedom when they have no moral values. The Founding Father said that our Constitution would only work with a Christian and moral people, and we're seeing the truth of that. As we get away from those Christian morals, that freedom is not sustainable. We can't allow people to have that freedom because we can't trust them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" As I mentioned before, Belial is a word that refers to the devil. And so what fellowship has Christ with the devil is what it's saying. "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We have to separate ourselves from the corruption in our society. There's no two ways about it. The scriptures are abundantly clear. Now, that does not mean that we should be like the Amish and form our own little communes and, you know, get off the power grid and grow our own food and not have anything to do with anybody else. But what it does mean is that we don't live just like everybody else lives, that we don't go along with what everybody else does. And if we make an effort to even live the most basic aspects of an Orthodox Christian life, the things that little kids come to understand very early on, like fasting, for example, or making the sign of the cross, if we learn to do those things, like, for example, when we're out with our friends and it's a fast day and we don't eat a cheeseburger, that is a small thing. A cheeseburger is not inherently sinful, and if there's nothing immoral about eating a cheeseburger. But because we're Orthodox Christians and because we fast, we know that we don't eat that cheeseburger on a fast day. Well, that trains you. That's not just for its own sake. That trains you to say no. If you can't say no to a cheeseburger, you're probably going to have a hard time saying no to something that's a lot more serious than that. So you need to learn to say no, and you need to learn to be different. You need to learn to endure the gazes that you get when you make the sign of the cross over your food, or when you don't laugh at a dirty joke when you're around other people that you go to school with or that you work with. We also should guard our relationships. We shouldn't be deeply close friends with people who are living immoral lives, because the scriptures say that bad company corrupts good morals. And that's as true today as it ever has been, and it's always going to be true. On the other hand, we don't want to be so far removed from society that we aren't able to do anything to impact the lives of those that are around us. We have to separate ourselves from the culture, but we also have to engage it. We have to engage it as a hostile enemy these days, unfortunately, and we ultimately need to try to capture the culture and to transform it into what it should be. But God only knows whether we'll be successful in that endeavor, where the culture will go 20 years from now. I mean, we may be on the verge of the apocalypse, or it may be 1,000 years from now, and we may see a new golden age of Christianity. We really don't know. But what we do know is that we need to separate ourselves, and we can't go along with what everyone else is doing for the sake of, if we aren't able to transform the culture just for the sake of our own salvation and for the salvation of our families. St. James says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God." You can't be like everybody else. You can't be cool. You have to learn how to be uncool and be okay with that. Because if you want to be cool, you're not going to be a Christian. That's just all there is to it. Because it's not cool to be a Christian in our culture, unfortunately. You have to make a choice. If you really believe that God is the Lord, you have to serve Him. You can't serve the culture. You can't please those that are around you. But on the other hand, if you don't really believe that, then you need to give up the pretense and just go ahead and go along with what everyone else is, but don't call yourself a Christian, because you can't do both. Like Joshua, we have to call those that are around us to choose this day whom they will serve. But regardless of whatever choices they may make, we have to say for ourselves, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen.